Okay, friends, come on back. We're going to start in. We're going to do the sermon in a couple different pieces this morning. So we are going to get to sing again, and we're going to do some other sort of storytelling things. But we're going to dive into the text closer to the front. And let me read. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 6. You know that we're in our final week of our 12-week series in Ephesians. And chapter 6, verse 10 through the end, I'm going to read 10 to 20 and make a few comments. We're going to do a little bit, get started before we come back and sing together in a few minutes again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will be fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Father, we've been 12 weeks in this beautiful letter, a letter that has taught us so much and encouraged us so much to live in the direction that we bear witness to who you are in everything that we do. We bless you for all that's in here that, Lord, is about you, is about what you're doing, and calls us to join with you in all that you're doing in the world. Now, as we come to this final, final section, by no means, Lord, does it peter off to the end, but rather it builds itself up. I pray that you would work through me and by your Spirit in each of us, so that we apply this to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 12 weeks in one letter. We've broken it into two parts of 6 weeks each, and if you remember back to the first part, you know that it's all about who God is. We've sought to understand the text and what Paul was saying to these people, and we've sought to apply it to our lives today. Paul's constantly telling us who God is. He describes God as a one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. He talks of his power. He talks of his peace. He talks of his righteousness. He talks about God's character of faithfulness, love, grace, throughout the whole entire book. And then almost as the pinnacle of his description of God, he paints this picture for us about God's dream, God's great plan or grand plan, grand vision, of creating a new society, a new people who will bear witness to him in everything that they do. First three chapters, in a sense, if you remember, were all about this new society, who we were in our identity caught up in Christ. We're in Christ now, not in the world. This new society is beyond our wildest imagination. This new society is described as being characterized just like who God is, as having a oneness. There's a unity, a deep unity that marks the very nature of this community. Walls are torn down between Jew and Gentile. It's now possible for everyone, not just the Jews, to be in Christ. This is the mystery that Paul says has been exposed or gossiped all over the world. He describes the riches in chapter 1 that we have in Christ by being part of this new society. And the longest sentence we can find, he just spills over and tells us how important we are to be in Christ. He goes in chapter 2 and talks about reconciliation with God and reconciliation with each other. We are his masterpieces, he said, created in him to do good works. But we've also become witnesses to everyone in the world, but also to those in the heavenly places. Witnesses of who God is by the way that we live. Chapters 4 through 6, the ones we've been in here after Christmas, he talks not just about a new society, but about new standards. You see, there's more to life than just existing. Not only does God have a dream for a new society, but he has new standards for this new society. He wants us as his people to live in a direction that represents him in every category. No longer are we to live the way we did before we became in Christ. You remember we were in the world and we lived a certain way, but now we're in Christ and there's a new way to live. We live by the Spirit. We live in unity. We live in holiness. We live in his power. When we live by the Spirit, we realize that we submit ourselves not only to God, but to one another. And we've heard over the last number of weeks how there's illustrations of that in marriage, illustrations of that in familial relationships, illustrations of that even when it comes to relationships outside the home, maybe even in work. The way of Jesus is opposite to the way of the world. Well, you know the next word is, right? But. Here's this beautiful picture that Paul paints. And then we come to the end and we hear this word. But what? But it's not always so easy. It's tough. In fact, it's very, very tough. And Paul comes to this last section, and sometimes, you know, you think, well, we come to the conclusion, he's kind of said everything already, and so it takes this nosedive, right? Not so with this letter. In fact, completely the opposite. He's building, he's building, he's building, and now he's hitting home into the highest point of this letter. It's a rallying cry. It's like a coach giving a big speech before the final game. Or an army general is perhaps even a better picture. An army general before the very last battle, encouraging his troops on to action. We've got a little clip here that we're going to show, and just to give you a little taste of that sense of what it means for Paul to be writing this to us right at the end. Watch this, and I'll come back.